Oops. Yeah, oops. Last time I ended the last session saying, you know, we're going to conclude this, but this is really only session 8. Kind of got lost in my own paperwork here. What I want to consider with you today is a realistic timeline. Is if you feel called to be part of a church plant, what's a realistic timeline for getting your church going? Now, there are a variety of ways to get timelines. You know, each denomination, each grouping has a variety of rules, and so the timeline can be different depending on which church you're talking about, which denomination you're talking about, which group you're talking about. But what I want to give you is what is the basis for the timeline I'm going to give you is developed by a United Methodist Church group that was specialized in church planting. But it's adjusted, it can be adjusted according to various needs of the group that you're with. But right now, just to give you a realistic idea of how long it takes to get a church going. So, let's dig in. 1 to 2 years out, or that period that's called exploration. Can there be a church that exists here or not? 1 to 2 years out, there's a vision spark. You know, the church has a vision for planting a church, or you know, a denomination has an idea to plant a church in Moreno Valley or Rancho Cucamonga, some of the places that my church in California planted churches. 1 to 2 years out. Or a church planter, you know, in the case of those two guys who wanted to plant a church in Lakeside, Muskegon, they started to have this vision, the one guy in particular, starting to feel this burden. That started 1 to 2 years before they started going door to door with the businesses there and developing the church. So the vision spark will usually come 1 to 2 years. 1 to 2 years out, a potential target people and place are beginning to be identified. Now, again, this can happen in a variety of ways. It might be done by the person. You know, it's the person who feels the burden to start a church in this particular area. As my friend, as I closed that last session about money, who just felt like he wanted to minister to the poorest of the poor. And so, you know, that happened a long time. He's been 4 years in that ministry before they started talking about a building and gathering people together there. And so it happens before. So it can happen that way through a person, but it can happen through an organization like our group out in California that was trying to plant 50 churches in 10 years. We were the ones who were going into areas and saying, what about a church here? You know, we identified Rancho Cucamonga as one of the key places to plant a church because it was growing by leaps and bounds. Well, it took 2 years from that point. Before we started a church there, we had to arrange the funding, make sure that was all in line, make sure all the stuff was in line. We identified a church developer, a guy who was going to be the church planter, and then he spent 1 year in our church gathering resources in terms of people that were going to go with him to help start, et cetera, learning about the Rancho Cucamonga area, doing some of the initial advertisement, et cetera. It took 2 years before that church began, actually. 1 to 2 years, you're likely beginning to identify a launch team. And who are those people? Who are those people that are going to become part of this process with you of, launching this new church that's going to reach people for Jesus Christ? So that's done way that far because there's got to be a period of time of preparation. One, these people have to be trained into understanding what it's going to take to plant a new church. These people have to be come to the understanding of what it takes to do this new church plant and given the opportunity to go off the ramp rather than on. People have to understand what their role is going to be during this time. You know, what particular gifts do they have and what do they bring to the team and how are they going to function as part of that core team? How are they going to function in their prayer life? How are they going to do all of this stuff that involves being part of the launch team? It takes a year of meeting with them. It takes significant time meeting with them to develop that passion, develop the plan for what they're going to do as they discuss bridging opportunities with the community and what they're going to do with bridging, et cetera. So, the idea is you can't hurry this step. Resources, where's the money going to come from? A networking in the community. There are all sorts of opportunities in that year ahead to get to know that community well and start the networking within that community. For instance, you know, the launch team, if you live in that community, can begin to connect with the people, as my daughter connected in the dog park with several people that ended up coming to be part of City Church. Or, you know, there's a networking in the community. One church I know that before they started the church, they went to the local school where they were going to be their place was going to be near this local school, and they offered to help this school. That networking took this form. They went to the local school and said, "How can we be part of encouraging you and be part of lifting up teachers here?" And they made a decision that one of the things they could do to bless that school was to build a new teacher's lounge. Teacher's lounge they were in was small. There were no windows. It was ugly. And so they got permission from the school at the church's expense to build, during the summer, a new teacher's lounge. And when asked, "Why are you taking such a big thing, a big project on?" they said, "Well, you know, the rewards are great. If the teachers have a place to come relax, they're going to be more relaxed. They're going to be better in their classroom. That's going to impact the kids, and that's going to impact the community long range." And so they began that even before beginning the church. But when they began the church, everybody in that school knew about them when they went public, not just began the church. Get a coach. You're going to need people who have been down the road a ways. Find somebody who has been in church planting and understands it, and understands that they are committing to you to help coach you and help talk through the problems you face if you are the church planter or part of the church launch team. Recruit prayer supporters. How many? I put 100 down there. I don't think that's too small. People are going to be praying for the success of your church. People are going to be praying for the mission and vision of your church to come to reality. And then, again, meeting with the core team 1 to 2 years out. 6 months out. Now, I want to say something there. I say, secure place and training of teams, music, welcome teaching, etc. I say all that, but let me pause that for just a moment to say that there are two different ways to develop churches. One is to be what's called an attraction church. And that is that you're inviting people to come to you. And inviting people to come to you, and you will meet them within that building or within that place or within that Bible study. But they got to come to you. That's an attractional model of our church. Since, that Sheffield, England thing with Mark Breen, we've been talking more in missions about missional churches. And that is churches that aren't going to be located centrally in that building, but are going to be located out in the community. And so it's built on the small groups. Now, Mike Breen developed a 3DM model, and it's a wonderful model, and you can find out about them. They've got training sessions going on all the time. They've got support. That's one way. There are other ways. But churches that start this way have just a different model about them with their beginning, because they can multiply in communities with fair ease because they're meeting in homes. And so when a group gets to a certain size in the missional church, they just divide. And, they have leaders that they send off to begin another ministry and send some people with them. And then others are invited in to replace that group. And then that whole group of the church may meet occasionally. There's a group in Colorado that I know of in the Denver area that meets once a month, where all the groups come together and they have a facility that they rent for that once a month gathering. And they said because the guy who started the church has written a book, and I've written a couple of books about their process, some people will come to check them out, and they'll come to check them out on that Sunday they're meeting. And so these people go into the worship area, the auditorium area, and they sit down at 10 o'clock because they think things are starting at 10 o'clock. But out in the other rest of the building, there's all this talk and hullabaloo going on because these people haven't seen each other, and they work together, and they were part of groups together that have divided, and there's this church that's going on. And he said, these people are waiting for the show to begin who are sitting in the worship center. So that's one way of looking at it, but your budget and your plan and your anticipation and what you do 6 months ahead is going to be different if you're missional or attractional. The timeline I'm giving you is for churches that are going to be primarily attractional. Now, you know, the church I served in Grand Haven was asked that question by a consultant that we hired to help us figure out how we were going to grow larger than we were. And one of the things he asked, are you going to be an attractional or missional church? And we answered, after considering that with the group I'd gotten together to do that planning, we said, we are an attractional church, but we have a missional heart because there are so many ways that we bridge into the community. And so this is generalized timeline, acknowledging that, you know, the kind of church we're talking about is one that's going to have a worship service. So 6 months out, you are going to need to secure a place. The tech equipment you're going to need, all that stuff. You're going to have to train all the teams that you have. Now, if you've got a music team, you can't just expect them to show up. They've got to understand the vision. They've got to understand the target. That's got to be part of the worship, because you're targeting a group, right? And the kind of music that is chosen will define somewhat whether that group is attracted or not. And so the music is very important. That team has to be trained. Likely you as the church leader or a member of the launch team are going to have to do that training. What about welcome ministry? What people experience when they walk in? What about teaching for the children? Is there going to be a place for children? What about follow-up on those who have been visiting the church? What about small group leaders, etc.? 6 months out, you increase the frequency of the launch team meetings. Develop mass marketing, however you do that. Preview events. You know, sometimes they'll do a worship service publicly in order to say, you know what, we're starting a church. We're doing it in the park today, just to give you a taste of what's coming. And then you've got to do the incorporation stuff 6 months out, and that means the legal stuff. And for that, you'll probably have to contact a lawyer, but you're going to have to register, if you're in the United States, the 501c3, so people can give tax-deductible gifts to the church. But however, legal stuff should be tackled at least 6 months out. And then a launch and growth. You know, you're ready for that launch. Review the launch with the team and adjust. You know, once you've had the launch meeting, you go back to coaching teams, monthly bridge events to the community, and then new small groups to include new people and engage people as quickly as possible. In other words, as people join your church, they're going to stick better. One person described it, I love the description, says when people come into your church, you know, they have very tenuous connection. In fact, they might have been invited by somebody. And if you look at Velcro, if you have Velcro loops that just a couple of them are connected, it's a very connection that's very easily broken. But the more connections they have, and, you know, they join a small group, and then they begin to volunteer in children's ministry or they've got musical gifts. One of the keys to making people stick is to make sure there's as much connection as possible, and that's what happens as the growth. You get leaders from the harvest for the harvest. And then finally, sustainability. You continue to develop leaders. Make sure you protect the outward focus. Develop stewardship among the people so that more and more of the cost of the ministry is borne by the church. You coach teams, hire staff. I could talk a long time about that. If you hire the wrong staff person, it's going to be trouble, and I know that from a lot of experience. And so, you know, you may need some coaching into who to hire and how to hire staff people, not just somebody who's available. But you got to get somebody who's committed to the leadership of the church, committed to the vision of the church. Develop the official leaders. You know, in my tradition, it's elders and deacons. You might want to begin a capital campaign in years 1 and 2, saying, we've got this vision, we're looking forward to this kind of building. Develop partnerships with other ecclesiastical groups or with school groups, other community groups. You know, a church in Muskegon made a huge impact because they began to partner with the school. And they said nobody's cared about them for years. Even in the school district, they were kind of the lost child. And so when this church came by and began to supply food for teachers and began to supply opportunities for kids, communicate with supporters and maybe begin steps to a second church service or a church plant. So that's a rough schedule, a rough timeline. Think about that as you're thinking about starting a new church, or maybe you're in the process or want to be on a launch team. Realize it's going to take some patience. It doesn't happen overnight. Okay, next time we're going to conclude this by talking about mistakes that church developers have identified. We'll see you then.